Good morning. I'm glad that you're here. I'm excited for what God has to say and what God wants to do in this time. As I was preparing for this, the idea that kept sticking out to me was God is our healer. Usually, when we have this idea of God as our healer, when we see this idea of God as our healer, we tend to think more along the lines of God is the healer of physical ailments. So when we hear God is our healer, when we hear about healing, if I were to tell you, oh, God healed me, you would think, okay, what physical ailment did God miraculously and instantaneously take away? And that does happen. Scripture is filled with examples of that happening. Thousands, hundreds of examples. I don't know the exact number, and I'd rather exaggerate because God is awesome. Okay, so there are tons of examples of God bringing about instant miraculous healing here on earth. And in Mark 11:24, when we're told to pray and how to pray about things, we are told to pray as if it's already happened. We're told to pray as though it's a sure thing. Today I want to share some examples with you. I want to share some stories that have happened in my life, some healings that have happened in my life, and I could share instance after instance after instance out of Scripture of which healing happened. But for me personally, whenever I read something out of Scripture, and I read examples of Jesus doing miraculous, awesome, powerful, loving things in Scripture, I tend to relate it back to my own personal life. The examples I've seen in my life, times that I've seen things like that happen. And it makes it, for lack of a better word, it makes it real to me. It makes it more than something I just know because I saw it, because I experienced it, because it was something that's real inside my heart, not just my head. My niece is 2 years old now, and my niece was very, 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 very ill last year, beginning of last year. She was very ill. She was severely dehydrated. They couldn't keep anything in her. Everything was coming out of her, and she was very lethargic, and they had her in the hospital, and the doctors were having a serious conversation with my sister and her husband saying, you need to be ready. She is spiraling. It's not looking good. We're going to do everything we can, but you need to be ready. And so that's a phone call you never want to get. And so my brother-in-law starts this prayer chain going on with a bunch of different people in his church. And I asked several of you to pray, and you did. And we hit our knees and we began praying and crying out to God, heal this child. Do something powerful, do something miraculous. And within hours of us praying, within hours of God's people praying, healing happened and her situation turned around and she began to get better and it began to look better. And then it turned from a, what's this going to look like? Is she going to make it into a, how long is it going to be before we get out of the hospital? And it was a wonderful time of praise you, God. Like I remember hearing my sister, seeing my sister, who moves when the Holy Spirit moves, who cries when God moves, for her to tell me I was there in that moment. And I held my daughter as I was thinking, God, is she going to go be with you? And she started turning around. And I just knew God was with me. That's awesome. That was miraculous, instantaneous. I mean, yes, hours, but it was in the moment. It happened. My son Ryan, who is now 5 and he is a spitfire, he won't be here today because he's homesick. He was sick all day yesterday. But my son Ryan had fluid behind his ears, persistent fluid behind his ears. It was like he was wearing earplugs all the time. He couldn't hear really anything. It all sounded garbled and messed up. And we were at the point where we're going to have to put tubes in his ears. And I know that's a pretty standard thing, But for me, as a musician, as a person that draws closest to Jesus with a guitar in his hands, I was scared because both my sons love music, and I didn't want to do anything that would affect their future possible ability. And so I'm praying, God, I'm okay if he has to have tubes because I know that you're with me, but God, heal him. And so we try for weeks with different medications, just trying to drain fluid, and nothing works. And I get back from a conference with your teens, and we're in the truck, and we're a couple weeks away from that make it or break it doctor's appointment. And the doctor is going to say, yes, he needs tubes, or no, he does not need tubes. And we're a couple weeks away from that, and we're driving in the truck, and my son's in the back seat, and I'm looking at him in the rearview mirror every once in a while, and I look back, and he has this defeated look on his face. His whole body language is just slack, and his arms are down, and his head's drooped, and he's just saying, Dad, everything sounds weird. I can't hear. And he loves music. He loves hearing music, but he was singing off key because it was messing with everything. And so he's like, I can't hear. And so as a father, that kind of broke my heart because there was nothing I could physically do. And so I'm just getting back from this conference, and I'm excited because I've seen God move in wonderful ways, and I've seen him encourage all these thousands of teenagers. But yet in that moment, there's nothing I can do but pray. And so I go to pray, and I feel God tug at my heart and tell me, why are you praying? Ask him. And I'm like, God, he's five. And he's like, so? And I go, well, okay. Okay. And so, Ryan, do you want to pray? Yeah. And so I have to tell you, as a pastor, I'm very proud of this, but as a father, I am so much more proud of this. Okay, my son Ryan, I've told you this story, but my son Ryan just goes, hey, Jesus. Not, hey, thou Father who art, no, not big formulaic words, not ritualistic, not formal, that's the word, not formal. It's, hey, Jesus, you're sitting in the third row. Can you come up here? Like, you're in the room with me, Jesus, can I speak with you? And so Ryan just says, hey, Jesus, can you make my ears better? It's like he's right next to him. And so as a father, I'm in the front seat, and I'm like, woo, this is so cool. Okay, my son is praying, and he's not just praying. He's like really praying. He's having a real conversation. I'm such a proud dad at that moment to know that my son understands it's just about having a conversation with Jesus. It's about talking with him like he's in the room. And then as I'm bubbling over with joy, I'm looking back, and I'm glancing up and seeing that he's kind of turning his head. What's going on? Why is this? And so finally I'm like, what is going on? He's like, my ears feel weird. And then he kind of straightens up and he goes, I can hear now. It's okay. And I'm like, okay, cool. And then I waited to tell people because I don't, okay. This is just me being honest. He's five and I didn't want to lead what he was going to say. Does that make sense to you? Okay, I didn't want him to just say what I wanted him to say. He'll do that. He's five. He wants to make his dad happy. And so I'm like, okay, and I wait for that doctor's appointment and to see the look on that nurse's face as she's like, well, the medications worked. And I was like, no, the medications you said probably wouldn't work. And they didn't work up until a couple of weeks ago when we were in the truck and he prayed and his ears were better. And she's like, sure. Okay. But I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. It's God. This is so awesome. I'm just so happy. Well, I've also had times where I've prayed with some of us here at Central. And God has done some wonderful things. One instance in particular, we were praying about a particular health issue that they were going to have to continue seeking advice from a doctor and medical, whatever the terminology is. And so they come up to me and they ask for prayer. And so we start praying, and I'm really feeling bubbly at that moment. I'm very energetic. I wear my emotions on my sleeve. That's just who I am. When God starts moving, I start like bouncing on my feet, and it's like the hairs on my arms and neck are starting to stand up, and God, I'm just really in that moment with Jesus. Okay, and so I'm starting to bounce, and I'm like, oh God, you're so wonderful, and I'm praying that you will heal, and I'm praying that you will move, and you will work this out, and I call this person the wrong name in the middle of prayer, and it was like the energy left the room. I mean, it was awful. I'm really bad with names, and I'm sorry that I'm really bad with names. I work on it, but I've been bad with names my entire life. Okay, and so I call this person the wrong name, and I'm humiliated. And so I'm just like, get this prayer done, and let's just walk away. And I'm beat red in the face. And so I finish the prayer, and I'm like, okay, just let me know how it goes. And I walk away. And the next day, I get this phone call. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I get the phone call, and they're like, hey, you remember that thing that we prayed about? It's healed. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Like, woohoo, God, okay, you're awesome. I can't contain it. Like, that is wonderful. Those are awesome, wonderful examples of when instantaneous healing happens. Now, there is another example where the healing looked very different than what I thought it was going to look like. I've told you all before, and this is a huge chunk of my life, and it's an awesome testimony of what God has done in my life, but I had Tourette's syndrome from age 11 to age 19. Tourette's syndrome is a nervous system disorder. You do things against your will. Your body does them. Okay, and so whatever that manifests as is called your tic. That is a tic. It's what your body does. So you can speak, you can make noise, you can have a motor tic. So I twitched my neck. And just to, I always have to say this, I didn't get the fun kind, okay? If you're going to have an awful disorder like Tourette syndrome, you have to have the fun kind where like you can like swear and get away with it. I didn't have that. So like I would twitch my neck. I did this couple hundred, couple thousand times a day. And I couldn't contain it. I couldn't help it. I would sit at school and I'd try and bottleneck it up. I'd try and hold it in. And so you'd tense your body. And the more nervous you got, the worse the tic got. And so the worse the tic got, the more nervous you'd get. And so by the end of school, every day I was so tense. And it was affecting my schoolwork. I was getting really bad grades because I just couldn't concentrate. Every year we had to go through the conversation of, okay, Eric has this going on, and he's not being distracting. He can't control it because the teachers were, you know, not sharing medical information that they weren't supposed to be sharing. So we had to go through that every year, and it wasn't necessarily fun. And not a lot of people knew about Tourette syndrome at the time. And so here I am. I've gone through middle school. I've gone through high school. I've graduated high school, and I'm at a prayer meeting, and the muscles in my neck are so tight from twitching, and they're so exhausted from continually twitching, and I am weekly, monthly, having muscle spasms in my neck. And so the right side of your neck, it would just clink because you'd pinch the nerve just the wrong way, or you'd roll the muscle just the wrong way, and then muscle spasms don't just go away in a couple minutes, or the spasm does, but the pain lasts for days, weeks. And so I'm sitting at prayer meeting, and I'm just focused at the chair in front. Like, we're outside. I'm looking at the pavement. And so I'm just staring at the pavement, and I'm trying not to move, and I'm trying to hold this tick back from manifesting itself so I don't have a muscle spasm, and I'm on the verge of tears because I'm so frustrated, and I'm so tired. And so finally, I felt like Paul, where he keeps saying, take this thorn from my flesh, take this thorn from my flesh, take this thorn from my flesh. And God's like, my grace is sufficient for you. And so I'm like, God, okay, if I have it the rest of my life, I have it the rest of my life. Can you at least just make the muscles relax in my neck? Please. I can't take it right now. I'm like, going nuts. Can you just make the muscles relax, please? And so we're at this prayer meeting, and I ask everyone around me to start praying. We start praying, and after a couple minutes of praying, I'm like, okay, cool. Like, I can feel God start working on me, and I'm like, okay, and the muscles are starting to relax. And part of that, I think, was I was just in the presence of my Savior. Okay, you can't help but just be at comfort in his presence. But the muscles start relaxing, and I'm like, oh, thank you, God. Okay, cool. And we get back to Bible study and prayer. And then the next day I wake up, and I'm like, I'm still semi-relaxed. This is cool. And then weeks later, I'm finally like, you know what? And I stood in the back where, you know, all the sinners sit. No, sorry. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned. I like to joke about that because it reminds me that we all are deserving and in need of God's grace. Okay, all have sinned. So we're all sinners. So when I say the sinners, that's, okay, all of us. But back in the back, and I stood up, and I gave my first testimony here at Central, and I shared the story about how God had healed me of Tourette's without me even knowing it. And so I didn't even know. I didn't have this, angels moment where I felt it. It was just this moment where God relaxed my neck muscles and I was like, okay, cool, thank you, God. And then I stopped twitching. And that was awesome. But it wasn't full. I still have rounded vertebrae in my neck. Still have messed up muscles in my neck. It still gets sore. It's a 60-40 shot in the morning whether I'm going to have a sore neck from the way I slept that night. Not because I used the wrong pillow, but because of just the messed up twitching, or what, you know, my neck being damaged from twitching for 8-9 years. That healing was so different than what I expected. I prayed 3,000 days. 3,000 days that God would take my Tourette's away. And he did, but it looked different than what I saw. There are also times when I pray and it doesn't happen. 5 years ago, we're coming up on 5 years, my best friend Nathan, who you met at my son's funeral, and you met also again because he led worship with me the next Sunday, but we've been best friends since first grade, okay? And it's like Jonathan and David in Scripture. Very scatterbrained right now, sorry. But Jonathan and David in Scripture, we pushed each other towards Christ. I mean, we just pushed as hard as we could, saying, you got to get closer to Jesus. Okay, it was wonderful. It's amazing. But I got a phone call when I was on a ski trip, which we're getting ready to take with your teens again here in a couple weeks. I was on a ski trip with your teens, and I got a phone call that he and his wife were in a car accident, and she died on the scene, and he was holding on, and there was brain bleeds and all kinds of craziness going on. And I stayed up all night in the sanctuary of the church where we were sleeping in the upper part of the thumb, and or the upper part of the mitten, and we prayed all night. I prayed that God would bring her back. And he didn't. We prayed over her body before we said goodbye. Just days later, before she was cremated, before her service, we prayed over her body. And God chose not to. I've prayed that hard for some of you in the worst moments in your life. These past 10 years that I've been with you, praying as things happen in your life, God, heal it. Move in that situation. I know you can. Your word says to pray as if it's going to happen. I'm going to pray as if it's going to happen. And it doesn't. And the hardest one, and this is the most recent one, as I held the lifeless body of my son, I prayed, bring him back. I prayed over my wife's belly after we found out that news for the very limited amount of sleep we got that night. I got even less because after she fell asleep, I put my arm around her and I just prayed. I've seen him do it. He can do it. I'm going to pray as if it's going to happen, and it didn't. But as I was sitting in that hospital room, and I'm holding my son's body, God was still my healer. He made me whole. Even in my brokenness. Do you get it? He made me whole. I am deserving of eternal separation from him, eternal darkness, and this fallen heart, this fallen soul, Jesus made complete. The healing of God is not dependent upon him making my physical, circumstantial things go away. The healing of God is dependent upon him making me whole. He made a way for me. Even as I held my son, he was still healing me. The past months, I have been reminded of Paul's words. And it's I've wrestled with them. In Philippians 4, we see Paul say, I am content in all circumstances. Content does not mean happy, people. Content means satisfied. I'm okay with it. It's good enough. I'm okay in the shipwreck. I'm okay in the being stranded on an island. I'm okay almost drowning to death. I'm okay in prison. I'm okay being flogged and beaten almost to death. I'm okay in the starvation in prison. I'm okay in prison. I'm okay later when tradition says that he was executed. Because Paul had Jesus. Paul had Jesus. I like to look at knowledge in two ways. And I don't even know where I picked up on this, but I say it all the time. There's head knowledge and there's heart knowledge. Head knowledge is I know it. Heart knowledge is it's true. Like I'm living it. It's true in my life. And the best example I can give of this was again with my son Ryan. When we were pregnant with Ryan, I saw the ultrasound pictures. I heard the heartbeat. I'd feel him kick in the middle of the night. And I do this awful thing in the middle of the night. All you ladies are going to yell at me later, and it's okay. But I would do this awful thing in the middle of the night where Susie would finally be asleep because carrying a baby is very exhausting. And I'd poke Ryan through her belly in the middle of the night, and he'd start kicking, and then I'd pretend like I was asleep, and then she'd wake up, and she'd be like, go to bed, kid. And so then I'd just start laughing. Okay, and she knows it, and she gets me back for it. Trust me, she gets me back for it. And I deserve it. I know I deserve it. But I knew Ryan was my son. I knew it. But when I held him, when I heard him cry for that first time, when I put him on my bare chest and we covered up in a blanket and I started singing out worship songs in the middle of that, you know, delivery room, and I'm rocking in the chair holding him, and he goes back to sleep because I'm singing to him and he knows his father's voice. When I held him the first time, the truth became true. It became real. God is my healer. That needs to be real for us. not just something we know, but something we live out in our lives. It should bubble out of us, even in the worst moments. I always like to respond to these times. Because I know God's pulling at your hearts. He's pulling at mine. I like to respond. I like to pray and have a chance to confront the false ideas in my mind, the false narratives, the false thought processes that prevent the truth of God is my healer from becoming heart knowledge instead of just head knowledge. We're going to pray here for a minute. You can pray. And then I'll close us in prayer. If you want to come up to the altars, they're open. If you want to sit in your chair or sit in your pew and bow your head, you're welcome to. If you want to stand and raise your hands, you're welcome to. If you want to walk around the sanctuary, don't be distracting to people, but you're welcome to. This is time that you get with God to confront some of the false thought processes that are pulling you in between God is my healer, just being head knowledge and heart knowledge. Let's pray.